Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, greetings and welcome back. We're glad you've joined us for this episode today. It's going to be something a little different. We're going to talk from that parent point of view where there's a child or multiple children in a family who are battling an addiction and all the struggles, the pain that goes with that, and subsequently, at least in this situation, a loss of life. But you'll hear more about it. Our guest is Dan Watson. Dan is the second voice you hear on our introduction, where he talks about not being able to help because he had that same struggle or felt that struggle with his son, Justin. But we're going to let Dan tell you that story. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Randy.
Hey, good to have you with us. Thanks for coming back again. We shared this story once, but now we're going to have it on camera. So this will help folks connect in even a more personal way. Let's go back. Tell us about the kind of kid Justin was growing up in his early years.
Okay. Justin was born in 1986. We were living in Indianapolis at the time. We moved back to Dunkirk in 1989. I took the job as county engineer in 89, where I actually served 32 years. But Justin grew up in Dunkirk and went to school in Jay County. Was a president, got the presidential award in middle school, played football, basketball, all around good kid, loved sports, little league, you name it.
I know he had a pretty outstanding junior high football coach.
He had an outstanding football coach, yes.
Which folks would have been me, by the way, humbly, okay?
I think that may be where I met you. I don't know.
It is.
I've known you for a long time.
As far as I recall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, good kid. Wasn't sure what he wanted to do when he got out of school. But he ended up going into the Army and did 3 years in the Army. Got into drugs sometime after high school. I'm not exactly sure when.
So that was post high school.
Yeah, pretty much. I think so.
Okay.
You know, I knew he was smoking a little bit and I knew he was drinking and stuff like that. I don't know if he got into the harder drugs. I think a lot of that came after the service. I'm not sure. I guess I didn't see it in him as much as my daughter because he wasn't home. He was gone. So I wasn't aware of it as much as I should have been, probably.
So the daughter was younger than Justin, correct?
Jessica was born in 1990, so she was 4 years younger, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was it about her that caused you to see it with her?
I know she wasn't doing drugs while she was in school, but it was the same with her when she got out of high school. She got the people that she was hanging around with. I think the crowd she started running with. We started seeing signs, you know, here and there, and it steadily got worse. But I would say from the time she was 19, till she probably spent 10 years or so, probably the next 10 years in and out of prison, jail, you name it.
All drug related.
Yep, all drug related, yes.
How is she doing today?
She is doing great. I think she's been sober now almost 5 years.
Right.
Thank God. You know.
Yeah. Got a family.
Mm-hmm. She's got two little ones. That's the only reason I think she got sober was because of the fact that she was going to lose her daughter. And I think that was finally the straw that broke her back and that made her turn it around.
Well, hooray for her making that change, regardless of what the reason or that boot in the butt may have been.
Oh my gosh, Randy. It was rough. It was rough. It was a rough time. Yes.
Can tell us, how was it rough? What was it like? Just so some other folks can connect with it and, help them with their thoughts.
You know, I guess it's denial, not only on their part, because, of course, that's one thing I noticed about Jess especially is that she always was in denial, but I think we were too. This is something, you know, you just don't want to face it. It's something that's it was taboo. You can't have a kid that's a drug addict. That's just, you know.
Look at what that does to the family name, the reputation. Exactly.
You know,
I've
spent my whole life in public service, you know, and I worked 5 years with NDOT. I worked 32 years for the county. I'm on my 12th year as a councilman, city councilman in Dunkirk. I spent 4 years as mayor of Dunkirk. So, you know.
You had a name to
this couldn't happen to us. You know, it didn't happen to
people of that nature.
Exactly. I mean, it's not. I've come to find out, and obviously that, you know, I have so many people I've talked to and I know that have had the same situation, but addiction is not, it has no boundaries, you know.
That's a great statement and a fact. Yeah, it doesn't care.
No.
It'll suck you up whether you're worth a million or not worth a dime.
Exactly.
Regardless of what your title may be or may not be.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't see that. Mm-hmm. It's blind to it all. It only wants you and everything you have.
Exactly.
From your personage to your finances and mm-hmm. everything else in between. So let's get back to Justin.
Okay.
You were talking about him being in the military, and that was the general time frame where you started to see changes and differences. How did that play out, Dan?
Well, he'd come back from the service. He was probably home a couple of years, I think. He met Lindsay, who he moved in with, and they were together for a while. I don't know exactly how many years they were together. But it would just be, you know, there were signs there. I think his mom knew more about it than I did because he talked to her. He wouldn't talk to me about it, but he would talk to her about it. And I didn't realize the extent. I was more worried about Jessica because I saw it with her. I didn't see it as much with him. Kelly was more aware of what was going on with him. And he would have fallouts with Lindsay, and he would come home and then he'd go back, and it was constant back and forth. And, I think it was Christmas of 21 that him and Lindsay came, and they told us that was our Christmas present. They told us that Lindsay was pregnant. She was going to have our first grandson. So that was a good day. He was working as a millwright for a company in Ohio at the time, and he was gone a lot. He would go on the road a lot, so he was gone a lot during the week, maybe come home on the weekends or whatever. So I didn't see a lot there. But once his son was born in August, I think August 6th of 22, that changed him immensely, I think. I thought, you know.
Thought it was a complete change. Uh-huh, there were obvious changes, but you thought there was even
exactly
multiple unseen uh-huh. changes.
Yep.
Okay.
He was going to start a new job in Cincinnati, and this was 2 weeks after his son was born.
Hold it, Dan. Before we get to that, you've got a letter with you, right?
I do.
That mm-hmm. Justin wrote, and as I recall, this speaks of the impact his son had made in
exactly,
his life.
Exactly, exactly.
Let's hear that letter, and then we want to get back to this job you're speaking
okay.
of. I know what follows.
This was part of the letter that Jaden kept like a diary. He wrote down everything that he was thinking a lot. So this was written on August 11th.
But you mean Justin?
Jaden's
the youngest.
Jaden is my gift. Yes.
youngest son. Yeah, I just want folks to be able to keep the players straight. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So anyways, he writes in this letter, he says, "It still blows my mind that I'm a father. I have a son. I never thought that my entire world, along with any and every single little thought or feeling of importance, could be wrapped up in one little tiny guy that makes me melt every time those blue eyes open and I look up at me. I know in my heart and soul that I'll never fail him. I'll always stand behind him, even if he's wrong. It is my job. No, it is my honor to be a father to that amazing little boy. It's just as much an honor that I've been given the chance over the past 3.5 years to be a father figure to Lily. And Lily is Lindsay's daughter. She really is awesome and will no doubt succeed in her lifetime. I know this because her mother instilled the wisdom and fight she needs. I just hope I can impact that boy's life the same way and give him every piece of knowledge I possibly can, as well as any other tool he might need in life. That is what my old man, my hero, my dad, gave me. He gave so much more than just that. He devoted everything he had into making life for Jess and me easier, or at the very least, bearable. Mom wasn't absent in all this either. She was Dad's teammate, and together they did more than right by Jess and myself. Now they have the chance to do it again with Jaden. The one thing that still stumps me is how Jess ended up in prison for the better part of her 20s, and how I ended up turning into the dirtbag heroin addict that I was. I'm so relieved to have left that part of me behind. I never once thought I could ever become someone so ugly inside and out. It took a long time and a journey down a painful road, but it definitely helped shape me into someone much stronger than I was before. That's why I don't stress as much about my issue now. I know that I can and will overcome it in the end, and in all reality, the end should have been August 6th. For 5 days, everything was perfect. I didn't have any thoughts or cravings. Then again, I never really do. I think it has to have control over me for that type of mental state to be present. For the time being, I remain in control. I'm just trying to break the habit before the tables turn and I succumb to the emptiness and the darkness overwhelms me. I'm starting to think that maybe my quarrel with old big guns upstairs should be resolved. I think I've kept a grudge long enough. Not to mention the sins I've been piling up could really use several confession sessions. I just hope I can say enough Hail Marys and Our Fathers to lessen the load. I actually remember not ever wanting to get up and go to church, but I always felt better after going. I mean, like my complete heart, mind, body, and soul felt better. I think I need some churching because I've been sinning. Sunday, August 13th at St. Mary's Catholic Church is where I'm going to be. I still remember Mass starts at 10:30 sharp. I already feel better. Got to go. Little sister is coming for some of my Army uniform patches and the first challenge coin I ever earned that I usually have on me at all times. It's going to be a great night." That was written August 11th.
I like the comment, "I think I need some churching."
Some churching. Yes.
Yeah, a little differently said, but the point's well taken.
Yes.
And don't we all? Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it get any easier to read that, Dan?
No, I haven't read it since the last time, 4 years ago.
Dan was on here 4 years ago, folks. That was before we were even filming our episodes. We wanted to get him back. His story's so powerful. Its impact on those who have watched it. It's one of the top watch that we've done in our 4+ years. So we just felt it important to get back to reach out to anybody who might feel neglected as a family member or, you know, someone connected to a loved one who's battling the disease. You were telling us, Dan, about his trip to do some mill writing work in, did you say Cincinnati?
Yes, he got a job offer down in Cincinnati, and he left on the 21st. He had to go down and do drug tests and fill out all his paperwork and stuff. I believe the 21st, that evening, he texted me, said everything's, he got passed his drug test, everything's good. He started in the morning. I said, okay. So I tried to call him the next morning to wish him good luck. I never got any answers. So I said, well, I assumed he was at work. And I don't know, it was late morning, I believe it was. I was at work out at the highway garage, and the sheriff came in and came back to my office and told me he found my son. I said, well, what do you mean we found Justin? I said, what do you mean you found him? And he commenced to saying that they found him. He had passed away in his hotel room down by Cincinnati somewhere. Oh, man. That was rough.
Can't imagine.
Of course, Kelly was working at the courthouse at the time, so we had to go up and tell her. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what happened exactly, but it was ruled a fentanyl overdose. And of course, this was back before fentanyl was really.
It wasn't a fear then that it is today.
Not like it is now. It'll be 9 years this August. So yeah, but it was relatively new. But roughest time ever.
So as you, what has been your healing grace during all of this, Dan? What has pulled you through after the loss of a son?
You know,
a tragic loss.
Jaden, obviously. He come along late. It was like, he was born in 2000, so it was 10 years after Jessica. I remember because Justin and Jess were both in high school when Jaden was born. And I remember going to the school and telling them that they were going to have a brother.
I remember you telling us that before. And the response was a little,
hey, you know,
shocked.
Kelly called me. She had went to the doctor's office for some kind of heart cath or something. And they called me and told me I needed to come down here. I thought, well, something's going on. And when they told me that she was pregnant, I said, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be a dad again, you know. No big deal. Little did I know, I think that was, I still feel to this day, that was God's gift to replace Justin. And him and I are best friends.
It's a shame you don't have a favorite football team that you guys like to watch together, that you're not cheeseheads.
Well, you know that. It's been a rough couple of days in the Watson house after the Bears victory, but
Yeah,
he takes it harder than I do, so I've really created a monster there. Our only saving grace is that he also is an IU fan, so he's
he still has hope. Yeah. So do I. All right, looking forward to this weekend, and we'll find out. So, okay, let's kind of jump ahead. As you were introduced earlier, I said you were the second voice in our. We have four people who kick off our opening, that recording that you hear each and every week with our program, with each episode. You make a comment, how can I be a help when I couldn't even help my own son? That may not be the exact quote, but it's awfully close, yes?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. How have you learned to help? You know, you felt that futility of not being able to do anything then. Has that changed? Are you doing anything now?
Yeah. I mean, I has it helped? I think getting the word out. I think the hardest thing was accepting it first. And then realizing as years go by, how many others have been down the same road.
Sadly, but yes,
it is tough. And I told you at the time, I said, you know, anything I can do to help, feel free to reach out.
Give the folks an example of how I called you to that moment. All right.
You called me here last fall, I think, and asked me if I would be willing to sit on the board of directors for Brianna's Hope.
And your response
and
was,
I accepted it. I told you yes,
in
I
a heartbeat.
Definitely. I guess going back, Brianna's Hope was and I say this because Jessica, my daughter, and Brianna were best friends. they spent a lot of time in jail together. So, you know, she was aware of all the issues that was Brianna was going through. Brianna, you know, I coached her in in softball. I mean, she was at our house all the time.
This is small town talk.
Exactly. I knew her parents and her sister. And you know, it's unfortunate that her and Jess went down that path together. And it's even more unfortunate that she met the same fate that Justin did. But through it all, like I said, that this whole Brianna's Hope thing blossomed, and because of you and many other people, it has exceeded everybody's expectations. And I'm just in awe over how it's grown. And if I can help in any way, I mean, I guess I feel like in all my years in public service and all the different boards I've been on and all the different fundraisers, you know, everything that goes with public service, that it's probably a perfect fit for me to be able to help the organization grow.
Well, it was a no-brainer for me because of all of that. You've just stated the package that you bring to this through your years of service, your leadership, your understanding of people in stressful situations and de-escalating, you know, mm-hmm. when that's needed, and having the heart and unfortunately the experience that goes with having lost a loved one and fighting for another loved one who was struggling but is now getting there. Your willingness to come on board. I know you're new. What, you've only been to one meeting, or has it been two?
One so far.
Okay. We've got another one coming up in February, and, you know, we'll start digging into it more so. But to have somebody of your qualifications and your nature on there, that's going to be a big help. And everybody involved with ABLBH appreciates that, says thank you for it. And we can grow together with that and because of that. So that's all a good thing. Of your experiences, of the struggles you have been through with two of your three children, what kind of advice can you give to anyone who's listening who may be the parent of somebody who's struggling with addiction?
Don't give up. Don't give up, because the hardest thing, and I notice it especially with Jess, is that they go through that denial stage. They're always going to say, I'm not using, I'm this. Obviously, you know if they're using. You know your kids better than anybody. You know, I could walk in and find a needle. I could find her with a needle in her arm and she would deny it. You know, oh, I didn't do that. Somebody, you know, did it. You know, that's just mentality. You just have to keep fighting for them. You have to keep, I mean, you can give up on them, I guess, if that's what you want to do, but you have to keep fighting. Their first thing, I think, I still feel that way today. The first thing that you have to do is you have to show them that they're not alone. They have to admit they have a problem, and they have to want to get straight. If they don't admit they have a problem and don't want to fix it, they'll never fix it. You can make it mandatory that they go to rehab, do whatever. If they don't have it in their heart that they want to make that change, it's not going to happen.
I have had people seated where you're at today who have said it took me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times to get through rehab.
Exactly.
I could do it standing on my head, but I never had my heart in it until this last time. Mm-hmm. And it was the last time they went that made a difference.
Yeah,
they listened instead of performed. They let it sink in instead of slide off. They weren't trying to please anybody else. They weren't trying to meet anybody else's standards. They decided, I'm worth this.
Exactly. and yeah, everybody is.
Absolutely.
You know, I know Brianna's Hope don't have all the answers. And if we had the answers, there wouldn't be a problem.
We wouldn't be here today.
But you're offering that support. You have to have that support. You have to. You know, and I think that's one thing with Jess. The last time that she got out of jail was, and I told her, and the same issue with losing her, you know, almost losing her daughter, that, you know, you have to change your habits. You know, to this day, she doesn't do Facebook. She doesn't do social media because that was a crutch. And it's really a big crutch.
We all have now, different triggers. But, mm-hmm. Whatever our situation in life may be.
Exactly.
And we can drive by a place, and that can be a trigger that sets off a chain reaction that has us back in that hole again. So we've set it from the get-go, change your people, your places, and your things. Exactly. I know it's trite. I know it's worn out, but I also know it's fact. And you start with those three things. Mm-hmm. You can find your way to recovery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know with Jessica, we took her several times at different treatment centers, and as soon as she got through the detox stage, you know, she'd check herself out, you know. And
everybody feels better after the detox.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm okay. Yeah, physically, maybe for the moment. But wait till the cravings hit again, or the opportunity is on the table before you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find out you could have used a little deeper work, a little longer effort at it all.
Well, and like I said, you know, when her brother passed, I thought that would be enough to shock her into getting straight. But that didn't do it either. So like I said, it took her daughter and her son now that she realizes what she has to live for.
Yeah.
And she and they need her. She needs them, you know. It's a tough lesson to lose 10, 12 years of your life to this. But hopefully, and I know, like I said, even though it's been 5 years sober, I know that that feeling is there. Hopefully it's back far enough that you can fight it.
The cravings aren't over at that point. The, you know, negative possibilities are still around you, but hopefully you've grown to where you can fight the temptation. Maybe you've connected with God in a way. You've got Him to lean on this time, whatever it may be. You're out of experience. We learn so much, and sometimes we lose so much.
Yeah.
So it can go either way for any of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your hopes of being able to do or accomplish with your story, with your experiences through A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, or through other opportunities that provide itself? Unfortunately, you've lived in a niche not everybody lives in. We don't want them to. Uh-huh. We don't want anybody to go through that. Unfortunately, it happens.
Yeah.
You've got a special education in that respect. How do you want to master that and continue to help out?
I'm here, you know. I've had people ask me questions. I've had people call me, and I've talked to people, different people that ask me different, you know, different things about what they should look for, or they, you know, we think that such and such is using. What do you think? And I tell them, if you think they're using, they're probably using. I mean, if there's, the parent would be the first one to know. If they spend any time with their kids at all, they would be the first ones to know. It's not hard.
It's not something you just want to accuse your child of.
No.
But you can tell something's going on. And if you look closely, here's a piece of evidence. There's a piece. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier the trouble you had yourself with denial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we want to live there, we're not going to see the truth. But if we'll give ourselves a little light, a little opportunity, we know what's going on. Are we big enough to admit it and to move forward, whatever that means, confrontation or...
And there is confrontation.
Good, bad, and ugly.
There's a lot of ugly days. I mean, I don't know how many we had, especially with Jess, but there were even a few with Justin. But the confrontation is part of it. You don't know how many times we wanted to just give up and say, you know, we're done. We're not bailing you out anymore. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. The only saving grace that we had when she was in jail or in prison was, well, we knew if she's in prison, she's safe. She's not going, we're not going to have to get the phone call that she was in a wreck or that she did this or she did that. We knew where she was. She wasn't doing drugs. She's in jail. She's doing whatever.
Being supervised.
And unfortunately, that was the only good thing about being incarcerated. But
I have heard, you're not the only parent I've heard say that. This is the first night I've slept for I don't know how long because my child's in jail.
Exactly. Because I couldn't sleep. I'd wonder, you know, I'd be worried about them, what they're doing, where they're at, you know.
Folks, we're just sharing this so you can see within your soul if you're feeling that you're not in a strange place.
No.
That's a natural relief. It's a way to be able to release anxiety and get your own recovery for one night, maybe, or multiple, whatever it turns out. But it's okay to feel that. It's okay to believe that.
I don't know, Randy, if you have, I don't know how many people you have that attend any of the Bringing Us Hope meetings or anything that aren't addicts that have been on this side of it.
Not as many as we would welcome.
Because I think that maybe there are probably a lot of parents that are dealing with that. And I know it's hard.
And
you don't want to, you feel like there's nobody to reach out to and nobody to help, but they got to realize that there's, you know, it's just as hard on them as it is the addict, and they need as much help as the addict does.
Mom and Dad, we welcome your attendance in any of our 40-plus meetings across the state of Indiana and western Ohio. You may want to identify yourself as a parent who's dealing with a child who has struggles. You can be anonymous. You can share as much as you'd like to share. If we can bring you some help, some understanding, by all means, join us. That's not an issue. Talk to the leadership. Let them know why you're there, and they'll be more keenly aware of who you are, what you're about, and not approach you in a way that'll bring about greater discomfort. I don't necessarily think you should. I think you need to talk with that child if they're attending the meeting. Go to another chapter. If your child's going to meeting A, go to chapter B.
Yeah, there's a lot of chapters out there.
Yeah, so you have that opportunity. But you can go with some anonymity that way.
And not only that, Mike, that might even help a lot of the addicts. It's 'cause the addicts, I don't think, even realize how much hurt the parents are going through. I think Justin finally realized it. I think Jess does now. She looks back on it and she just, you know, I can't believe I put you guys through that. While they're going through this, they don't think about the rest of the family.
They think about one thing and one thing only, and that's
Yep, exactly.
How am I going to get it, and where and when? So, I think that's excellent advice and good stuff.
The pain is a lot, but if it's not as bad as the ultimate outcome, if you lose a child, then the pain's multiplied, you know. We'll never get over that. That's something that, you know, it's going on. I've had 9 years and it feels like yesterday.
Over the years of my ministry, Dan, I can't tell you how many similar situations I've been involved with. And I always think the order is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that God, that's not how he sees it. It's how Randy Davis sees it. It should never be a child before the parent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the extra struggle that goes with it, we've had it in our family to where that's been the case in different ways. And dealing with that and just say, the healing, we may go in that direction. I don't think we ever get there. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never happened to me personally, and I can't imagine where I'd be if it did. So, yeah. Dan, we're getting close to wrap-up time here. Is there anything you'd like to say before we do?
I appreciate everything that you do. I know it's hard.
Thank you.
It's a tough job, and like I said, I'm just in awe of how Brianna's hope has grown, and I hope it continues to grow. The unfortunate part is that the fact that it's growing is that the fact that the need is there. It hasn't. I don't hear as much about it, but I know that the need is still there. I know there's still a lot of addicts out there. And I don't know that we're ever going to get that, you know, get that fixed. I hope we do someday, but
something else will replace it. That just kind of a rhythm of society.
Exactly.
We get a cure for disease A and disease B, a new one pops up that's life-taking.
And this is it is a disease. I'm a firm believer that, you know, just don't wait till it's too late. That's, you know, if you can intervene, you know, good or bad, just don't wait till it's too late.
I'd rather intervene and be wrong than wish I would have intervened. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
Listen, folks, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate Dan joining us, sharing us again. I know it's tender, but I know it's important because he's not the only one dealing with the same situation. We'll continue to keep you in prayer and trust that you get as involved as you can, that you come into that close relationship with God and build on that strength, help your family do it as well. But between now and then, we want to remind you, as we always do, those four words: stay in the battle. God bless. Amen. Take care.